Good morning, church. How are you this morning? Man, I haven't been up here for such a long time, man. It's been over, I was just talking to my wife and I was going, man, it's been over a year and a bit and I'm still nervous. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, hey, the power. When I think about the power of the Holy Spirit, I think of those V8 cars. I think of the electricity. And so I'm just ready, I'm pumped, and so this is good. All righty. Okay, so my name is Sinfei Wong Si. I'm one of the leaders here. I'm a witness for Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a minister of reconciliation, and that's who I am. And I know that that's who you are. And the thing is that, you know, part of our whole every nation thing that you always have to show a photo of your family. Hey, yeah, I've got a tribe. Here you go. That's my family. We got Israel over here. He's our oldest son. He's over in Melbourne. We got this guy here, Javan. Javan, he's over on holiday in Melbourne. I don't know if he's going to come back, but he's praying that he'll come back. Then we got Xavier, good-looking Xavier there. And then we got our little girl, Zion. You know the thing about the whole girl, when you have three boys and then you have your girl, man, they're so precious for us men as a father. So we got our son here, Samuela. You know, he's in the house. Where's Samuela? Samuela. He's a son in the house. And also, we got this girl. We just found her in the street. Petra. Oh, Petra. Yeah, she's part of our family, too. And then we've got the youngest. It's funny, though, that we got to go bang, and then bang, bang, bang. And then we have to wait. And then we go, oh. And this is where this guy comes along. Judea. And this guy here, he brings the blessing to our home. He brings happiness. He makes me young again. He makes me young again. And then all of a sudden, another pause. And then we have this one, our little princess. Just last year, we had another child. Malia, she had a miscarriage. And you know when you know that, where she's, you know, children are a blessing. And I was so blessed. I said, God, we are so blessed. And her name is Palaya. And so we just know that we are so thankful of our girl or boy. I don't know. But yeah. And so that's my family. And the funny thing is that we're trying to get, you know, when we take a family photo and we try to get, no gang signs. Come on, man. Smile, Javon. Xavier, what are you doing? And he starts like this. What are you doing, Wella? Petra, why are you pointing? Look at yourself. That's my family. That's my family. And so we're on the last part of the woman at the well. You know, stated in the history that it is the longest conversation in the Bible with Jesus and that woman. And the funny thing is, that woman, we don't even know her name. It could be Paige. It could be Ash. It could be Riffy. It could be Manu. It could be, yeah. We can relate to that woman at the well. Amen? And so week one, Alfred kicked off a great sermon. Man, he was on fire. Amen. And so out of the whole sermon I got out of that was just a pickup line. That's all I got out of the whole sermon. But you know what? I've got some pickup line. You want to battle with me? I'll battle with you, brother. I'll battle with you, brother. You know what? I want to talk to my wife. You so hot. Is it hot in here? Or is it the Holy Spirit burning on you? I've got one for you. The other day I was just reading the book of Numbers, but I didn't get your number. Oh, I will part the Red Sea anytime for you, baby. And so, go back to the topic. Hey, go back to the topic. So Alfred was teaching about how Jesus is our model on how to start a conversation. So Jesus is intentional. Jesus is inexorable. Yes, I got that word right. Not horrible, but inexorable. And then Jesus is inclusive. And then Pastor Richard, week two, he preached about the whole asking good question, build a relationship. Build a relationship. Making God known is what matters the most. And then Weeong last week, he really enjoyed Weeong's word last week. Yeah? Man, he talked about the whole meaning a felt need. The wow, your mission field. The spring, his gift to you. The need, your response. Man, I came away out of that word last week. Our spring of a living water will meet the needs found in our wow. And are you willing? Are we willing? Amen. So today, we're just going to go through the scriptures. John 4, 25, 26. And this is the scripture that I'm going to share with you guys. John 4, 25, 26. The woman said, I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I am the one. I am he. And then we jumped into verse 39, 42. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of this woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritan came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of this, of his word, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of this world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we invite you this morning. We've come with an open heart, with an open mind, with an open soul. I pray that you may come through us, Lord Jesus. Convict our heart this morning. Thank you, Father, that you are our Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, and that you will lead us in all truth and help us to really understand the bigger picture of the woman at the well. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Each has a story. Different upbringing, different personality, different culture. And we think about the Samaritans, cross-cultural. It's like us right here. We have different challenges, having different walk in life. There was this young lady. She lived a rough life. She hit rock bottom to the point that she wanted to attend a church. She didn't have church clothes. She wore what she wore. You know, when you hit rock bottom, you don't care what other people think of you. You don't think about what other people, but you're so desperate for a change. So she went to church, sat at the back of the church, and after church, she really enjoyed the worship. She really enjoyed the word. You know, after the service, you know how the pastor goes at the front of the church, and when people go, leave, they shake their hand and bless them. Bless their hand, bless them, bless you, brother, bless you, sister. When it came to her, this is what he said to her. Young lady, next time you come to church, I want you to pray and ask God what you should wear. I want you to pray if you come back. You understand me? She went back home. She came back. She came back late. She sat at the back of the church. She wore the same clothes, tight jeans, low cut top. And again, they meet at the back of the church. Pastor at the back. Young lady, I think you didn't hear me when I said to you last week. I said to you, you should pray and ask God what you should wear. You know, the young lady said, I did pray. So what did he say? God told me I don't know what I should wear. So what do you mean? Because he hasn't been in this church. He hasn't been here before. The thing is, that are we a church? Are we a church that keep people away and not bringing them in? See, the thing is that Jesus will walk away from religious drama and walk towards the people that's in need in the community. Jesus will find a way so that he can be available to a person that is in need. They're trying to find a time to avoid that person. And to refresh our story, we go back to the NIWSFV version. And it says this is a well-known NIWSV, which is the New Infowang Sea version. So, Jesus was on his way back to Jerusalem for the Passover. When he sits down at the well to take a rest, the disciples went to pack and save to go buy some food. And while resting there, a Samaritan woman who was an outcast, she needed a freedom weekend. Even by her own people came to draw from the well. Jesus asked the woman for a drink. But the funny thing is, when we look at the word, how did Jesus encounter with that woman? Right? He sat at the well. He was tired. He saw a Samaritan woman. Woman, give me a drink. If you use that right now, imagine Pastor Richard used that to Chrissy. After a good day of ministry, he comes home, said to Chrissy, woman, go cook me some eggs. What do you think the response? What do you think the Pastor Chrissy response to Pastor Richard? Yes, dear. Oh, yes, dear. No. Man, I can see Chrissy go, mate, you don't talk to me like that. You go cook your own eggs. Imagine if I did that to my wife. Oh, I'll be coming next Sunday with this. And someone will ask me, mate, what happened? I'll go, I fell off my bike. But in reality, yeah, whatever. So Jesus proceeded to tell her about the living water that only he can provide, and also tells her about her past. She at first perceives him to be a prophet, but then when she tells him about the coming of the Messiah. Here's 4 points I want to share with you guys. Point number one, simple faith. This lady has simple faith. John 4:25-26, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I am the one. I am he. He is the only person that can say that. You know who I am? I am he. I want to go back a few verses. And this is where, this is the funny thing that they were having a conversation about this water. The water at the well and the water that you will never thirst, right? And then, where the thing is that you have a husband. The thing is that Jesus tapped into the whole personal life. So I talk about the three P's, the public, your personal, and your private life. You don't want to tap into my personal life and my private life. And that's what Jesus did. And then the woman at the well, she's trying to change the subject. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that you're in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And this is why you don't mess around with Jesus when you come with this whole religious conversation with him. Man, he will convict you, right? And this is what our man Jesus did. Woman, yeah, you woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is what is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. This woman had a lot of baggage. Jesus was looking for someone that able to share in spirit and in truth. She's looking for someone that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is where the woman said, I know that Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will tell us everything. But you know, the thing about Jesus, he was just cool, calm. And I was going, man, it's me. That is me. I am the one. Jesus came into this world, came and was born into his own people. He demonstrated his power and his identity by showing miracles and signs. He fulfilled the prophecy in the Old Testament that he is the Messiah, and yet they rejected him. Jesus also knows how rejection is felt. He understands. John 1:11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. His own people didn't even receive him. Acts 2:22, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. But here's a Samaritan woman. Had a conversation with Jesus, and she believed. There was no miracles. There was no turning water into wine. Imagine Jesus turning water into wine in that well. There was nothing. There was no healing meetings. Jesus just told her the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hey, simple faith, she believed. Romans 10:19, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and, can't hear you, and in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved. I'll never forget the time that I first came to church. Yeah, I can relate to this woman at the well. Living the life that is full of sin, clubbing, sleeping around, trying to find my identity, alcohol, drugs, gang, being a player. Totally understand. But the funny thing is that when you come at that door, one of my friends invited me and my boys, and I came, and I sat at the back of church. That's the cool seats, right at the back. The anointing seat is right here. Yeah. And I was sitting at the back. And you know, the whole thing about the sermon, you know, when you come, when the guy is preaching about a word of God, and you're sitting there and goes, man, he's talking about me, all the sinful life, all the life that I can receive. And I say, I'm not ready for this. Man, I'm not worthy of this. But if you just believe, and I'm sick and tired of my whole lifestyle, broken, hurt, rejected. And I'll never forget the altar call. But you know, the Holy Spirit's trying to push you. And he's speaking into your heart, and all of a sudden, your heart is pumping, the blood is flowing. It's something that really hits you at the back. Your spine starts to shiver, and I was like, oh man, no, that's not me. The pride, right? The pride. You know what? Man, I'm sick and tired of my life. And I stood up. I believe. I stood up. I was sitting right, bang, right in the middle. I was broken. I stood up. And all my boys went, hey, what is it doing? What are you doing? And I'm standing right up, and I was saying, excuse me. Man, by the time you hit to the side of coming to that aisle, I was walking down like this, I was staunch. And then the thing about me, my cheeks start to shake. Aggie understands because her cheek shakes too, eh, Aggie? And I was coming down on the side, and I'm like, and all of a sudden, it started to shake more. And all of a sudden, this tears start to pour down because you're letting the walls down because I believe. Same as this woman, I believe. And I was walking down, and I was going, man, come on, man. I just want to get it overdone in front of my boys, in front of people. But you know what? I fixed my eyes on Jesus because he's the author and perfecter of faith. I walked down because I want to change. I'm sick of living my old life. And I believed. I came down and I said, amen, I'm ready to receive. I am. I am the way. I'm here. I am the truth. I am the life. I am here. I am he. I am, and I am willing if you just believe. Simple faith. Simple faith. Second point I want to share with you. Sincere faith. And this is John 4:28. Then, leaving her water jar, after she made a confession of faith, she experienced a change of value. Her purpose was to come to the well and draw water. That was her purpose in the middle of the day, is to come and draw water. She meet up with Jesus. And once she meet up with Jesus, Jesus revealed himself to him. And you know, during that conversation with Jesus, that woman at the well didn't understand where he was coming from. Didn't understand anything. But once he revealed himself, bang, she understood. She understood exactly where he was coming from. That spring water that Pastor Rion was talking about last week. She left her water jar because she found the water that satisfies her soul. I mean, I had a good catch up with Alfred, and Alfred showed me, I shared with Alfred regards to, bro, what is their notes about that woman at the well that you've learned at the School of Empowerment? And he sent it over to me. And this is what Jim LaFoon wrote. The act of leaving her water pot was both a sign of her childlike faith. She thought that she'll never need natural water again. At the beginning of a whole new mindset, she had gone from the woman at the well to the woman with a well. She became a woman at the well. You want to receive that well, or you want to become a well? See, the thing is that when I came down and I received Christ, that instant change hit me so hard. And I walked out that door, and there was a lot of challenges. And I kept going in and out, coming into Jesus, got saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I go back into my sin. I come back again. I got saved so many times. Come to the well. Thank you, Jesus. And then I go out the door, drinking with my boys. Come back again. Monday to Friday to Saturday, come to church. But I didn't realize until I came to Every Nation and I received that water that I will never thirst again. Freedom Weekend, discipleship, the core values of Every Nation, discipleship, lordship, spiritual family, leadership, teaching me how to live for Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. The new is here. Thank you, my son. Everything has changed in an instant. When simple faith is exercised in Jesus Christ and a soul is saved, sincere faith quickly developed in the heart of the believer. I became a well. Do you want to become a well? Then you just got to believe. Simple faith, sincere faith. Point number three, sharing faith. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people. She made a confession of faith. She experienced a change of value. And she has demonstrated a concern for the lost. Here's a woman that left town that day. A dirty, worthless, hated sinner. She hated herself. But why? Because she was used and abused physically, spiritually, emotionally, and sexually. She left that town as a nobody, but she came back to town as a somebody. She left town as a nobody. But once she received that water, she went back to town as somebody. If we look at the heroes in the Bible, they were nobodies before they become somebody. Right? If you look at Jacob, he was a cheater. Right? If you look at Peter, he had a lot of anger issues. He needed to attend an anger management course. If you look at David, he was a player. He slept around. Many wives. If you look at Noah, he's an alcoholic. You look at Paul, he was a murderer. You look at Gideon, he was insecure. You look at Miriam, he was a gossiper. A you are gospel ladies. You look at Martha. Martha was a nervous wreck. You look at Thomas, he was a doubter. You look at Elijah, he had a depression. Moses, he couldn't talk. Abraham, he was old, but he got his groove on. See, let me tell you this. People look at the sinners and what they did in the past. People look at sinners and what they did in the past. Jesus look at sinners and what they can do in the future. Jesus look at the sinners and what they can do in the future, able to build his kingdom. And that's what this woman did. God does not call the qualified. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. He does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. And after she had an encounter with Jesus, the Messiah, the first thing she wanted to do is to tell her own people. Not only did she tell about him, she invited them to come. Come! Come! Come, young people. Come and check out this Messiah. He called himself Messiah. Come, Sam. Come, Xavier. Come and check out this guy. He changed me, and I know he will change you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessary is laid upon me. Woe to me if I not preach the gospel. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Matthew 10:33. But whoever denies me before heaven, I would deny before my Father who is in heaven. I like that one. But whoever denies me before men, I would deny before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. If you look at the book of Acts, when the disciples are all gathered in the upper room and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, the Holy Spirit came. They were speaking in tongues. They're receiving the Holy Spirit. And after that meeting, they walk out. Peter and John saw a crippled man, a crippled beggar, asking for money. And we know that the homeless people here in New Zealand is just growing and growing and growing. Why? Because of these generational curse upon them. So this Peter and John walked, and this man was begging, right? This man was begging. Because they had that power and receiving of the Holy Ghost, they too want to tell them about this man named Jesus. And you know what John or Peter says? Okay, man, you know what? Oh, man, I don't have no money. But let me tell you this. I want to tell you about this man named Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And that man stood, walked, and then he too went and spread this miracle that happened to him. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I don't know if you know Elena's mum. She was in hospital. She had some back pain. And I remember the time that through that, we had that mid-year fasting, and I was praying. And so I said to Elena, "Lena, can I come over to see your mum? And I just want to pray for her." And I remember both me and Malia went over to Otara and then sat down and we did this whole devotional. We did this together. And so here's the thing, that when we gathered together and we prayed, we singing, we did our devotions, and then we started to pray for her. And we praying for her, we laying hands on her. And when you're in prayer and fasting, man, you can hear the clearly of the Holy Spirit talking to you. And here I am, just praying, and I know that Molly was praying, and just praying, it was beautiful. And then I said to, I was praying, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to me, "In faith, tell Christine to stand up and walk." Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I can hear it so clearly. In faith, tell that woman to stand up and walk. Oh, man. This is going in my head. I'm speaking in my mind. Oh, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Is this the devil or what? Tell that woman to stand up and walk. And here I am. Christine, I haven't done this before. I've seen it on TV. But here's the thing. I don't know who's talking to me, but the Holy Spirit telling me for you to stand up and walk. And in my head, I was going, "Man, you better come through. You better come through." You know, Christine stood up. And she fell back down. And I was praying. "Yes, Lord." Oh, suruka papakasa. And I was praying in the Holy Spirit. She stood up again, and she took that one step and started to move the other leg, took the second step, moved the other leg, three, four. This time, Miley started to release her hand, five, six, and this is her. "I stand in the name of Jesus. I stand in the name of Jesus." I was shocked. I'm seeing. See, I was like Thomas. I doubted God. And I was going, "Man, I have that authority too." And she was walking. And everyone in that hospital was just watching her. The surprise in her face. God moved. You see, God's faithfulness in action. And so we jumped in the car. Oh, no. After she walked, she sat back down. You know what? After that, she gave her life to Christ. And we jumped in the car, and we traveled, and we were so quiet. And we were coming from Otara all the way over to Newmarket, and we go over that bridge in Newmarket, going back to West. And then I was going, "Did you see that?" And we're, "Whoa!" And Layla's at the back, "Whoa, man, this is amazing. Wow, this is so cool." And we were just mind-blowing. And this went, Elena shared her testimony. She gave her life. Now she's living in Tauranga, and I know those people are trying to connect with her. She went and told everyone in that hospital who Jesus was. Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and all Samaria, and to the ends of the world." Point number 4, shining faith. "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the master? Could be this Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. When he put his light within your heart, You will stand out from the darkness around you. You become that shining faith. Ravi, one of the well-known Christian apologists, and this is what he says. She has come with a bucket, seen her back with a spring of living water. She had come as a reject, seen her back being accepted by God himself. She came wounded, seen her back whole. She came laden with questions, seen her back as a source for answers. She came living a life of quiet desperation. She ran back overflowing with hope. You are a living wow. Come on, church. Can you hear me? You are a living wow. If you want to receive this wow, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Jesus showed her love. Jesus gave her the truth. Jesus offered her hope. She believed. She became a witness, and she reconciled the people back to him. This woman was so responsible for a child turning to God. There's just something about the name of Jesus that makes me want to tell everyone, come on, man. You got Jesus in your heart. I want to go back into this whole Colossians 1:27. Write that down. To them, God has chosen to make known among Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. You don't want to know this mystery? You really want to know this mystery? You really want to know this mystery? Come. Which is Christ in you. When you have Christ in you, there is hope in his glory. When you have Christ in you, there is hope of, man, I don't know if you guys are like so excited. I'm excited. I'm so excited. And I just can't hide it. Because I know I need a Jesus. Because that's who he is. He's the perfecter and author of faith. I serve a powerful God. Come on, church. I serve a powerful God. There's power in the name of Jesus. Come on. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's resurrection in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's hope in the name of Jesus. If you just believe, you are a shining faith. Go and make disciples. Go and share your testimony. What are you waiting for? The question is when is your last time you share your testimony? When you share the testimony, you share the gospel. That's what I love about Wee Yong and his team at campus. Because they're able to share their testimony. And when they share their testimony, they share the gospel. You too can become that wow. Or you want to be a wow. Or you want to become a wow. Water that they will never thirst again. All eyes closed, and we are about to close. And I'd like to invite the band. We are called to be a witness. We are ambassador for Christ. We are minister of reconciliation. She became a well of salvation, and that she will never thirst. I want you guys to really close your eyes. The reason why I'm asking you to close your eyes is that I don't want you guys to serve by get distraction by others. Holy Spirit. as we close, I want you guys to really reflect on where you came from. And look at yourself before Christ and how you were a nervous wreck. And look at you now, serving, ministering, discipling, and leading. This woman made a confession of faith. This woman has experienced a change of values. This woman has demonstrated a concern for the lost. There is power in your personal testimony. There is power in your personal encounter with Jesus Christ. There is power in your personal confession of who Jesus is. There is power in your words about Jesus. There is power in Christ's words about himself. And there is power in a person's words when from their heart they confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of the world. My brothers and sisters, use your personal testimony and what God has done in your life and share the gospel. Tell someone about the most wonderful thing that ever happened to you, a personal encounter with your Creator and Savior. If today you have never been had that personal encounter with Jesus, He invites you to do so. Find somebody here who's a believer and ask them about their first encounter with Jesus. I too would be happy to tell you my encounter with Jesus. And when you hear the extraordinary work Jesus can do in ordinary human heart, you will want to encounter Him yourself and see for yourself how wonderful He is. This is the most important decision you will ever make, to experience Jesus, asking Him to forgive you and to lead your life. If you're ready to do that, I would love to pray with you. If you're not ready, my prayer is that your heart will be ready very soon. Finally, we could all use a fresh encounter with Jesus. Hopefully, we encounter Him each day of our lives. As we pray and obey what He speaks to our heart, if you have not been touched with Jesus lately, today would be a good time to renew your relationship with Him. I encourage you to walk, to talk to Him right now. The important thing is that you encounter Jesus personally. Only Jesus can fill that emptiness in you. Not alcohol, not drugs, not relationship. Only Jesus. And you can become that well. If you want to begin that journey of following Jesus today and become a follower of Christ, I want you to pray and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm here this morning, broken, rejected, guilty, hurt, and empty, just like the woman at the well. I acknowledge that the separation between us is because of my sin. I confess that I have sinned and have fallen far short of your glory. I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for my sin. I believe that He died on the cross for me. I believe that you raised Him from the dead. And I am sorry for my sin. And I ask you to forgive and cleanse me. I want to turn away from everything the Bible calls sin and call and receive Jesus as my Lord and Master and Savior. Help me to love, to serve, and obey for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. I want you guys to really sit at His feet. And as we sing the song, we're just going to worship Him. Just like at the woman at the well. She came to the well broken. Nobody. But because of her testimony, she went back and became a living well.